Of course, one of the big stories overnight, the people storming the border between Mexico and the United States, and the optics of that, you need to know, were planned. You don't have just spontaneously hundreds or thousands of people take a trek like this with all of the logistics and transportation that was provided. They don't have the money. They don't have the wherewithal. That doesn't just come together. You know, I could see if it was a caravan of, you know, what were obviously privately owned vehicles, but, you know, the kind of cargo hauling, industrial strength vehicles that were in that caravan, you don't just pick those up along the way. And then the behavior at the border was not the behavior of any kind of asylum seeker or refugee we have ever seen. So it leaves only the conclusion that most of these people are pawns who are being used by others, interest groups, people from within the United States and from without the United States, outside the United States, to make a point, to create a politically dangerous and awkward situation for the U.S. government and the current administration. What do you think about the way the current administration has handled that? Are you disappointed, shocked, angry? Do you approve? Did they not go far enough? 210-599-5555. It's today's Stevens Roofing JR poll. Approve or disapprove President Trump's handling of the caravan so far? And there are thousands more to come. A reporter for KPBS says there are potentially 5,000 more people heading for the Tijuana part of the border. And this is in addition to the group that tried to rush the border yesterday, forcing the Customs and Border Patrol to shut down the port of entry for several hours and put up barricades with federal officers in riot gear. And at one point, tear gas fired into the crowds as migrants were throwing rocks and physically tearing down border barriers. This is all as it was intended to be and to look. And, I got to be honest, if you disapprove of what the president's doing, I think that needs some explanation. I hear a lot of people saying, well, we have to let asylum seekers into the country. We have to process their requests. It's the law. And they're correct. That is what the law says. But if people act lawlessly, do they get the protection of the law? If instead of seeking asylum at the U.S. embassy or consulate nearest to where they live or lived, they do this, do we still believe that asylum is truly what they want and are qualified for? And do you find it just a little convenient that people in this country that want to relax our borders or abolish ICE or have sanctuary cities are now steadfastly defending the caravan? It's almost as if the caravan was done for them. It was almost as if it was a favor or a lifeline thrown to people like Julian Castro so that he could deliver of himself a pious tweet about how we need to do right and do well, and this is not who we are. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman-elect from New York, says that this reminds her of Jews fleeing the Holocaust. I think she might want to meet up with and have a conversation with an actual Holocaust survivor before she makes that comparison, because I don't think it's a very good one. And she said, asking to be considered a refugee and applying for status isn't a crime. But what if you're committing a crime while you're asking for it? 210-599-5555. So you could view this one of two ways. It's either an incredibly lucky turn of events for Castro and Ocasio-Cortez and people like that, or it's been coordinated and choreographed for them. And I happen to choose door number two, because I don't think these things just happen. 210-599-5555. Our good friend Robert Fleming is calling in. Robert, good morning.
Top of the morning, brother. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Nobody listens, so why waste it?
Well, you know, I'm here to listen. I'll listen.
Yeah, that's why I called.
Okay.
No, you know what I'm thinking, Jack? And we haven't talked about this too much, but you know, when they talk about this whole collusion thing and whether it was with the Russians or wasn't, I have no absolute idea. But I do believe, and I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe that the DNC, at a minimum, may in fact be in collusion with someone, these leftist activists in Central America, to make this stuff happen. Because it always seems to come up around times of election, seems to come up right around the holidays, and they're designed to target people's heartstrings. And, yep. And unfortunately, it works. Now, the other side of it, too, is that Elijah Cummings says it's legal for them to come. He says it's the law. Well, you just told us what the law is. When you wish asylum, you seek asylum in the next country, the closest
right.
to where you're at.
Right.
That's the law. So, Congressman, if you're going to talk about what's legal and what is the law, then let's talk about what the law is. Does the process take a long time? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes. Does it stink? Yes. But you're in a position to fix that, sir. The rest of us are not.
I agree. I think that every Democrat who's been around long enough to have done something about this needs to explain why they left it to Trump. If they don't like Trump's approach, why did they leave it for him? Did they not know that sooner or later, if they didn't solve it, if neither party solved it, somebody would come along, and somebody did, who said, I can do it. I'll do what neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are willing to do. And then, as you point out, how do you justify things under the law when this group of people are not only threatening to act outside the law, but they are, in fact, acting outside the law? That sort of falls apart.
Yeah, it really does play into their whole moral relativism, where, well, when such and such faction of people, because they have this and that, that's okay for them, but yeah. Somebody else, oh no, that's that you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, everything is moral relativism on everything, and it's just become too much.
It is a good point. Hey, we're going to see you 2 weeks from tomorrow.
You turn light, we are. We're going to wrap some great gifts and do some great things for some folks in San Antonio who need. And folks, we always need gifts.
Yeah.
Bring them on by. We can sure use more.
And you'll be able to enjoy some great refreshments from Magnolia Pancake House, Robert Fleming's folks as well, 2 weeks from tomorrow night. Robert, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. We'll get to more of these coming up. Like a quick break here for traffic, 1117 on 550 KTSA, FM 1071, and at KTSA.com. The mayor of Tijuana is calling it an invasion. He's not a Trump administration official. He's not a Republican, he's not even an American. And he says that it's an invasion. And goes on to talk about it's a breakdown of law and order. It's a breakdown of order. And so I don't think you're going to be able to pull this off with a whole, hey, we got to respect the law with the whole, you know. That would be fine if everybody dots their I's and crosses their T's and has their paperwork in order, the law is a fine thing to talk about. When they're attacking and throwing rocks and ripping apart the border fencing, I don't think that's the time to bring up the law. And if we're going to talk about the laws we have made for ourselves involving asylum seekers, then we need to talk about how those laws work and how they don't work. And I want to get into that more coming up here. 210-599-5555. Sherry is on KTSA. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Thank you. Look, you're saying all the right things, and they're definitely they're not migrants either. You know, they have a country of origin. That's the big difference. They're illegal immigrants. Migrant workers are like the Grapes of Wrath. They're already citizens. They cross state lines to find work. They don't fit that. They do travel for safety. That's a caravan. Well, something else that has a caravan are gypsies, but they're not gypsies. They have a kind of these illegal immigrants. They are of a nomadic race of Hindu that speak Romani and have no country of origin. They do have a country of origin.
Right.
So it's the caravan. For a gypsy would be to transport a traveling expedition.
Right.
For safety. That's the only thing that matters.
Well, and it's a permanent way of life. It's not. They're not on their way somewhere.
That's right. They're just migrant is to give you the impression they're like trying to find work. They're trying to have a life, and you know they've been offered that.
But isn't it interesting that you would flee? And Sherry, thank you for the call. Isn't it interesting that you would flee a place that you say is dangerous, and you felt unsafe, and then you would hurl yourself at the border of the most powerful country in the world, a country whose president has publicly proclaimed that he is deploying his own military on that border. In other words, the behavior of the people who left, say, Honduras is one thing. I get it. The behavior of people who are hurling themselves and other things at our border, to me, that is a managed, manipulated, trained, indoctrinated behavior. It is not logical or rational by any measure. And again, our country has been the destination or the, I guess you'd say the objective, at least, of people all around the world for almost as long as we've been a country. But we have not seen this. And that's why I don't think this is just happening, or this is just something that popped into their head, or, they got caught up in the moment. No. This has way too much political value to certain factions in our country, as well as outside our country, to have just happened. They're not just lucking out with the caravan. All right, so there was a big story up in my old neck of the woods end of the week, over the weekend. Do you remember the Tsarnaev brothers? The Tsarnaev brothers were the two who bombed the 2013 Boston Marathon. They killed three people and injured a couple of hundred people. And there are people walking around without an eye or a hand, missing limbs because of their attack. We know they did that. And Dzhokhar Tsarnaev is appealing his death penalty sentence. Remember, his brother Tamerlan is dead, and he ran over his brother with a stolen SUV trying to get away from authorities. So it came to light in some court documents this week that back in 2011, before the world had heard of the Tsarnaev brothers, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older brother, the dead one, the speed bump, celebrated the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks by slitting the throats of three Americans in the city of Waltham, Massachusetts, which is next to Watertown, which is where they were apprehended, or the brother was apprehended. So they killed three, or he killed three guys who were known to him. One of them was, in fact, one of his best friends, a guy named Brandon Mess, by slitting their throats. And he bragged about this by saying he was committing jihad. He didn't cut their throats because he was shaving them. He murdered them ritualistically and for jihad. And this has come to light in the court filings for the surviving brother who's trying not to get the death penalty. These were also asylum seekers. The Tsarnaev brothers came to this country allegedly seeking asylum. And they got Section 8 housing and EBT cards and college scholarships and full state health benefits. And they expressed their gratitude by murdering people at the Boston Marathon. And we now know one of the brothers also murdered three other Americans for a total of six dead Americans. Now, I'm not saying that all asylum seekers do this or intend to do it. But my point is, there was a time when, as a sovereign nation, we had borders and everyone had to obey the law. And the problem now, and I think more and more people see this, is that the only people who have to obey the law now are citizens and people who pay taxes. And people who are here legally. But if you're here illegally, or you come here illegally, then you don't have to obey the law. We make excuses. Every day, there is a story in the news about an illegal immigrant who kills somebody drunk driving, or in the commission of another crime, or a home invasion. We have that guy that went down to, I think it was Missouri, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Remember, he was being detained in New Jersey. He was in jail. And New Jersey had, the county in New Jersey had a sovereign, a sanctuary county policy. So they didn't notify ICE in time to come get him. They released him. He went from New Jersey to Missouri. And he and another guy killed three people, first torturing them to death so badly that witnesses heard them begging for their lives inside the house, and it turned out they killed them because they had been living with these guys and were told to leave because they weren't paying any rent. Every day, there is a story somewhere in this country, more than one every day, shooting cops, jacking cars, raping, going into schools and pretending to be 16 when they're really 33. It wasn't always like this. We were a sovereign nation. One of the things that drew people here was law and order, because they didn't have it where they were coming from. Something happened in this country to where we lost confidence in ourselves and in our laws and in our, I guess maybe you could even say, we lost confidence in our exceptionalism. So that now people come here not seeking to hold and wave the American flag, but waving the flags of the hellhole countries from which they're coming. Does that not seem weird to you, that they are, quote-unquote, escaping these hellholes, but they are bearing huge banner-sized flags from those countries? What sense does that make? Do you think, did your ancestors come here? Did my grandfather and grandmother come here waving big Italian flags at Ellis Island? How would that have gone over? Not well. And is it any wonder, with the messaging our politicians put out, is it really any wonder that people come here and many of them don't think they should have to or will be required to obey the law? Does it occur to you that maybe one of the reasons they behave lawlessly is because they see excuses being made and examples of people being let off the hook, let out of jail, lighter sentences, judges handing down lighter sentences, and actually saying from the bench, I'm going to go easy on you because I know that you don't know our laws or you're new here? Is that a better way to do it than when we had a standard for everyone? And how much longer can a country go on if the only people who follow the rules look around and see people not doing it? How much longer can we have a country where for every person who's paying income taxes, there's a person next to them who isn't? And I could go on and on with numerous other examples. Remember when JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country? Is there a bigger icon among Democrats than JFK? Why don't those words matter now? Why don't we apply those exact words he spoke at his inauguration address to people coming to this country and say to them, not, here's your EBT card, here's your free housing, here's your in-state tuition. No. What are you here to do for this country that you wish to call home? And why is that flag in your hands not the flag of the United States of America? And these aren't, you know, I didn't say it, he said it. The most iconic Democrat of our lifetime. What happened to that country that thought those were great words? He was a little before my time, but most of us remember the words spoken by JFK. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. He was speaking to Americans, right? But wouldn't those words also apply to people who are saying, at least they're saying, we are leaving where we are from. We don't want to go back there. We can't go back there. It's dangerous. We want to come here. We want to stay here. Please give us asylum. Give us refuge. We want to join your tribe. So why aren't we asking that question of them? And let me broaden this out a little bit beyond just the caravan. Trump has taken a lot of heat for just really broaching, not even formally proposing, what they call merit-based immigration, which is the idea that a country should, in considering who it lets in and how many people it lets in, should consider what each of those people brings and should consider what that country needs. Does a country need lots of unskilled labor? Does a country need certain skill sets? Does a country need STEM graduates? Does a country need, younger people? I mean, I think most countries, I haven't made a study of it, but I think most countries, to the extent that they let anybody in to stay, are looking at, well, what will you add to our economy? What will you add to our society? We certainly aren't going to let you in if you're going to detract from it. We want to know what you add. Or, to put it another way, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. If those were important, stirring, inspirational words 55 years ago, or 50 whatever it was, then why aren't they now? And I think they could be. I think they could be kind of almost like a crib note for immigration policy. And certainly when people start off the conversation by flouting our laws and attacking our border, that isn't a good start. That isn't an indication that these are people who we will be glad we let them in once we let them in. I mean, you tell me, what do you think? 210-599-5555. By the way, somebody over at Fox News dug this up. Apparently in, 2013... Border Patrol agents used pepper spray against a group of approximately 100 migrants who were rushing that same port of entry down there near San Diego. San Diego Union Tribune article at the time says agents fired pepper spray and pepper balls and used other, quote, intermediate use of force devices, end quote, to repel a crowd that was throwing rocks and bottles at U.S. authorities. I don't remember anyone comparing that to Nazi Germany like they are now. So I'm sorry, I got to call BS on that comparison, but I guess I just want to know, for people that are horrified by the tear gas, but somehow not by the pepper spray or whatever, My question is, so what's your plan here? What's your thinking here about the caravan and the people in it? And you do know that if they are allowed in and told to report back in 8 weeks for a hearing, that most of them will melt away and not do that. And how is that a good idea? And how do you reckon the romantic descriptions people like Julian Castro have attached to these caravanners? How do you reckon that? Oh, they're just tired and they're hungry and they're just women and small little children, with what we saw over the weekend. I mean, I'm sorry. I think people are getting to deliver little pious lectures and sermons without anyone questioning their logic. What are the rules here? Are the rules that border enforcement is okay when Democrats do it? Or that no border enforcement is okay? Or that it's not okay for Trump to do border enforcement because he's a hater? And by the way, if you had been held to your own party platform in 1996, we would have fencing all along the border now. If you'd kept the promises that used to get you elected in the 90s, that you would protect union jobs from unskilled, low-income or paid-under-the-table illegal workers, we wouldn't even have this discussion. We would not. We would probably not even have Donald Trump as president. Do Democrats ever think for a minute that a big reason Donald Trump is president, besides the fact that Hillary was a terrible candidate, is that he played into and appealed to the frustrations people have had for a long time with both parties about illegal immigration? And I come back to it again. I'll say it again. And this applies to a lot of things. When people look around and they say, I'm working, maybe even more than one job, I'm paying taxes, I'm meeting all my obligations, I'm raising my kids and keeping them out of trouble. When they look around and they see people not doing any of those things and getting rewarded and getting to pay no income tax and getting the earned income tax credit, and getting free everything, and being coddled and even praised by would-be political leaders like Julian, that frustration builds and builds. And for a long time, that guy or that gal didn't know what to do with that frustration because both parties talked out both sides of their mouth. But then a guy comes along and says, I'll build a wall, and it sounds crazy. Except it's something. And the other guys aren't doing anything. And that's how you get 2016, and that's how you get where we are today.